This is Investor IQ with Glenn Wessel, where you hear straight talk about financial topics that impact you. Got a tax, financial, or investment question? As a CPA and holder of the Certified Financial Planner and Chartered Financial Analyst credentials, Glenn Wessel's the guy to ask. Now, here's Glenn.
Hey, thanks for tuning in this morning. You listen to News Radio 570 WWNC. My name is Glenn Wessel, host of Investor IQ, where the goal here is to sharpen your investment skills. Hey, Forrest, guess who I saw in concert this week?
Who'd you see?
I saw Bonnie Raitt.
Oh, yeah, that was, what was it, Tuesday night?
I think it was Tuesday? It Tuesday?
Yeah, it's
yep,
Tuesday night. Yeah, Jerry, that I do the morning show with during the weekdays, went to it also. She said the show was great.
Yeah, it was a good show. Thomas Wolfe Theater. I haven't been there in probably 5 or 6 years, I think. So she was good. You know, she's 60 years old now.
I know, 60 years old and sounding great.
Did you know she went to Harvard?
I didn't.
She's a I don't know if she graduated, but I know she studied. I think it's Harvard. She was in Cambridge, I know, studying, so I think that would be Harvard.
Smart girl.
Anyway, yeah, she plays a wicked slide guitar. As a matter of fact, my wife really wasn't familiar with slide guitar, so as we were watching it, she said, "What's she doing with her middle finger there?" And I said, that's a tube. That's the tube that goes on her finger. She's not doing what you think she's doing. She's a polite gal. So anyway, we had a good time. It was a nice show.
Good. So, good.
Actually, my wife is here with us today. Is she on a mic at all?
She is. Alice, go ahead and speak up.
Alice?
Hi, how are you?
Hey.
Good.
Forrest, I want to tell you one other story. Last time I went to Thomas Wolfe, we had the most bizarre thing happen to us.
What's that?
Well, it was full of smoke. We went to one of those Warren Haynes concerts, those Christmas specials.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
What kind of smoke?
Well, that's right. It was full of smoke, and we left early because we couldn't breathe, and I think there was some kind of delay or whatever. So we had the babysitter all lined up, and we had free time. So we thought, well, maybe we'll go to the Fine Arts Theater. So
right.
I pulled down Biltmore Avenue in front of the theater, dropped Alice off to see what was playing. And I said, well, I'll just turn around, and if something is plan, we'll watch it, and if not, we'll just keep going home. So I had to pull down that street where that coffee bus is.
Uh-huh, the double-decker.
And as I got to that intersection down there, there was a woman standing in the intersection looking at me. She looked distressed, right?
Uh-huh.
So I look at her. She looks at me. I slow down. I think, well, ma'am, do you need help? Then she stops walking, and I stop driving because I think, well, she's distressed in some way. You know, I'm a good guy.
Right.
So she walks over and gets in my car. And she says, just pull block three, I think what she says, pull three blocks that way. And she just points, you know, further down the road. And I said, where are we going? And she said, well, what do you want to do? And I said, I'm with my wife. You know, so I said, by the way, I don't like smoking in my car. she got the message and she was gone. So I turned the car around, picked up my wife, and she didn't believe I had a ho-ho in my car.
Wow. Wow.
The bottom line was that I said, smell that smoke, Alice? I said, you know I don't love smoking in my car.
Actually, I have a similar story to tell.
happened in like 1.5 minutes. Yeah. I was like, there's no way.
I was working at a nightclub downtown. I know we're getting off track here, but I was working at a nightclub downtown. It just started really actually hanging out downtown Asheville. And the parking lot right there below the double-decker coffee bus. Parked the car. All of a sudden, this woman is like, she looked distressed. And I say, hey, can I help you? And like, this next thing I know, I don't know how it happened, this woman's in my car, and she tells me to drive around the block. I'm like, I realize what's going on. I was like, no thanks. I've got to go to work. Have a nice night.
You got to go to a different dumpster.
Exactly.
I bet exactly. It was the same one.
Yeah, well.
Well.
I don't know. I wouldn't recognize her. I'll tell you that.
I wouldn't either.
So, anyway.
All right, Investor IQ.
That's right. So if you've got any questions, feel free to give me an email or give us a call. The number at our office is 232-2000. Feel free to drop me a line. The email directly to me is G Wessel. That's Wessel with two S's, one L, at wesselinvestment.com. So just let me know what's on your mind, and I'll do my best. Today we have a few questions that I think were posed over the course of the last week or so. But before we hit that, let me just briefly discuss some of the things that we hit last week. We talked about some of the mental deficiencies that plague investors with respect to having emotion defeat the logic of the decision. So a lot of the a lot of the pain that's caused to investors is really self-inflicted through emotional decision-making. We talked about gambling being a negative-sum game where, on average, you would expect to lose. So since you would expect to lose in playing that game, the idea there would be to specify your bets and to not play a long time. We contrasted that to the investing concept of what is considered to be a positive-sum game. In such a positive-sum game, you would expect to win. Therefore, you would want to diversify your holdings and play a long time. We talked about some of the other investor foibles, which makes me want to remind you that we have those previous episodes on podcast, so you can check the website at wwnc.com and check that out. So this week, we have a few pretty much bond-related questions or fixed income-related questions. So, Alice, you want to give me one of those questions?
Yeah, sure. Let's see. First of all, Judy from Fletcher emailed us. Her question is this. My brother-in-law often talks about closed-end funds. Can you explain what they are?
Sure. Thank you, Judy. To understand what a closed-end fund is, you probably would need to understand what an open-ended fund is. An open-ended fund is a fund that deals directly with the shareholders. That is like a Fidelity or a Vanguard, where you purchase shares directly from the fund. A closed-end fund is a little bit different in as much as the fund raises money one time from investors and then it closes and it no longer deals with investors directly. Therefore, a closed-ended fund, the shares trade on an exchange. All right. With respect to an open-ended fund may temporarily close, but that's not the same as being a closed-ended fund. Some open-ended funds, which are traditional mutual funds, they may close just because they get too big, they're unwieldy, they are going to be pushing the market around too much, and they feel like they can't get out. So a closed-ended fund is completely the opposite. It raises the funds one time, and then the shares trade separately on an exchange. So if you want to get out, you would have to sell your shares to another investor. an open-ended fund will redeem the shares directly. A closed-ended fund will not. So that's the basic idea there. Again, I think we're sneaking up on a break. Is that right, Ford? All right. Once again, email me at gwessel, wesselinvestment.com, or call 232-2000. You've been listening to News Radio 570. This is Investor IQ, and I am Glenn Wessel. We'll be back in just a moment.